Turn your Bible this morning to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join me on the even. If you found Psalm 116 this morning, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 8, I'll begin in verse number 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would draw our attention to what the man of God, through the Word of God, has for us. I pray that we would avoid any distractions. Lord, we would focus on what You have for us. Lord, prepare our hearts for the message with the special, and we'll thank You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? Think of His great sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when He has done so much for me? The hours that I've wasted are so many, the hours I've spent so Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if His heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when He has done so much for me? I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when He has done so much for me? No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when He has done so much for me, when He has done so much for me.
God bless you, Brother Stone. Boy, that's sobering, isn't it? Mercy. I love songs like that, and I hate songs like that. I hate songs that make me convicted, huh? Mercy. All right, let's pray. Well, before we do that, let me show you the text verse this morning. Look at the last part of verse number 7. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Hallelujah for deliverance. Hallelujah for deliverance. And you'll get into the, you understand what I mean by the title as we get into it this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, my, what a song, very sobering question that we must ask ourselves, have we done our best for the Lord Jesus? Jesus, you certainly gave your best for us. You gave your life. I would like to take the next half hour, 35 minutes, to do my best for you. Lord, if all I did was work in the power of my own flesh, it would be pitiful. I need your Spirit's help. I submit myself to you. I'd like to be the tool, the instrument, the conduit through your for your voice this morning to speak to our hearts. I pray that both speaker and listener would be filled with your Spirit and able to get from the message and from your book, God, what you want us to take home today as we sit in this service. Bless us and help us, I pray it in Jesus' name, and amen. The deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt was a memorable event. As a result of that great deliverance, God instituted several annual remembrances or memorials that were to be observed. He never wanted His people to forget that great deliverance. And so He mentioned it over and over again through the preaching of the prophets and the judges and those that spoke. But He also instituted these remembrances, these memorials. Now, one of the memorials that came about was the Passover. It was a special memorial held in remembrance of the night that the blood of the Lamb, remember the story in the book of Exodus? The blood of the Lamb was taken and placed over the lintel of the door and the mantle of the doorposts. And the blood of the Lamb protected the children of that household from death. And later on, as the Passover was observed, God gave the children of Israel some special songs that they were to sing as a part of the Passover remembrance. So He gave them the Passover to remind them about the deliverance from the land of Egypt. And then associated with this Passover were songs. Now, in verses 3 and 4 here, well, before I do that, we have some of those songs in our Bible that were used by the Jewish people in observance of the Passover. Psalm 113, 114, 15, 16, 17, and 18. All those in a row right there were some of the songs that were used by the Jews along with others in observance of the Passover. Now, we know that the Passover is very picturesque of our own personal salvation. There are some parallels that can be drawn from the Passover, from the deliverance that the children of Israel enjoyed from Egypt, and our own personal soul salvation. I like verse number 3 there where he said, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." God convicts. And when God brings conviction, look what happened in verse 4. "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." God convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of our situation. And then we call upon Him. And when we call, He saves us. And His salvation is a deliverance. Did you see that at the end of verse 4? I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. And that's what salvation is. It's a deliverance. Just as He, God, delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt and the bondage and oppression of Egypt, so salvation is deliverance for you and me. And these songs were to remind the children of Israel about that deliverance. They're called Hallel Psalms. H-A-L-L-E-L. Hallel. That's short for Hallelujah. So that's exactly what these psalms were. These were Hallelujah Psalms. They were psalms, songs that were to be sung as praise to God. Hallelujah to God. And one of the key themes or the key memories that God kept alive in these songs and through these songs was that of deliverance. Deliverance, deliverance. He never wanted the children of Israel to forget that they were delivered from the land of oppression and bondage and slavery down there. And so a key theme over and over again, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Now, he writes about deliverance in verse number 8. That's going to be our text verse today. My title, Hallelujah for Deliverance. And I want to show you the threefold deliverance that he mentions in verse number 8. And how it pictures what you and I enjoy in salvation. Now look at verse number 1. First of all, verse number 8, we learn this, that God delivers my soul, the psalmist said, God delivers my soul from death. Do you see that there, verse 8? For thou hast delivered my soul from death. So this was the first deliverance mentioned. The first in order of importance. The first in order of praise. And maybe there are other reasons why it was listed first. But its importance is incredible. Praise God, He has delivered my soul from death. Now, folks, you've got to understand, the death He speaks of here cannot be physical death. The death He speaks of in verse number 8 is not physical death. Because the soul does not die. He said He delivered my soul from death. Now, the soul of man, the soul of a person does not die. This takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 7, when the Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, watch this. And then He breathed into Adam's body. So Adam had a body. But then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says that man became a living soul. So Adam had this physical body made up of the components of the earth. And by the way, when you break down the DNA of our physical body, it's exactly what the DNA of the ground is. It's incredible. We're made from the earth, our physical body. So Adam had this physical body. He's this inanimate body. Okay? And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Now there's a part of Adam that is eternal. His soul will live forever. His spirit, his soul, can communicate with God. And I say this morning that the souls of people are eternal. Listen, when you and I look around this room, all we see is the body. You and I see the body. We see each other's bodies. But these bodies are houses. They're tabernacles. They're houses of souls that are eternal. And although one day we may meet with physical death, our life leaves our body at physical death, that soul is going to live on and on and on and on and on and on forever. And by the way, reincarnation is not taught in the Scriptures. It might be taught in a textbook in some school somewhere, but it is not taught in the Word of God. You don't come back as a higher or lower life form. You don't come back in another chance at life on earth. No, when the soul leaves the body, the soul lives on in one of two places forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen, the death mentioned here is not physical death. The death mentioned here is spiritual death. Revelation 21:8 and Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 tell us of the second death or the spiritual death. I get to those scriptures sometimes showing people how to be saved. If they've never seen the Bible, it's very amazing how sometimes their reaction is when they see where God talks about a second death. Some folks have never thought about second death. Second death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I'm convinced, friend, that man is not near as worried or concerned or fearful of that first death as he is the but after this. The but after this. That's what shakes man to the core sometimes. And what Paul was talking about there in Hebrews, and what the writer John was, and talk about in Revelation 21, Revelation 20, and what the writer of the book of Psalms is referring to here, is not physical death. This is spiritual death. This is separation from God, where the soul of man is separated from God forever and ever and ever. That's what the second death is. It is separation from God in a lake of fire. And friend, death, second death, separates us from God and all that God is. Take a moment and ponder that a little bit with me this morning. If I asked this morning, what is God? I'm sure somebody would answer out and say, Pastor, God is love. And do you understand, friend, that the second death separates us from the love of God? Somebody else might say, God is light. And that's true. And the second death separates us from the light of God, or God's light. In fact, I was thinking about it this week. Over there in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth that God will make someday. And it says about that new heaven that there will be no need of the sun, nor of the moon, because God Himself is the light that lights up the new heaven and the new earth. And think about it, if there is no sun or moon and God is the sole source of light for all that new heaven and new earth, if a person dies and goes to hell, they are separated from light. That's outer darkness. I want to tell you something, friend, that's petrifying. Outer darkness is scary. Outer darkness is fearful. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches in other places. The death that he's talking about here is the soul death, the separation from God. God is love, being separated from God's love, being separated from God's light. God is mercy, being separated from the mercy of God. God is truth, being separated from truth. How would you like to live eternally in a place where all there is filled with error and lies? And deceitfulness. And that's what hell is. It's a place where people are separated from the truth of God. God is gracious, and hell is a place of being separated from God's grace. God is holy, and hell is a place of being separated from God's holiness. I'll tell you something. This world lives in pleasure, the Bible tells us. And people love wickedness, and people love unrighteousness and all kinds of ungodliness. They thrive in it, and they promote it, and they hold it in high esteem and shake it in the face of God. But I'll tell you something. In hell, that place will be filled with so much wickedness and sin, it'll be a devastating thing to be in that place for all eternity. A place of error. A place of lies. A place of unholiness. The second death separates us from all of the attributes of God except one. And that's His wrath. And that's what hell is. Hell is a place of the wrath of God, where God's justice is meted out for all eternity in a boiling, burning mixture of lava-like fire and brimstone, which burns and torments, but does not consume. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. I didn't expect anybody to be shouting amen or glory to God yet, because when you talk about a place like that, it's not very encouraging. And some will dismiss it. I'll tell you something. Dismiss it all you want. 2 seconds after you're there, you'll believe in its reality. Won't even take 2 seconds. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm just trying to be a faithful preacher to the Word of God. And God, I'm talking about an awful place where we're separated from God in this place of burning lava, a place that the Bible calls a lake of fire. But listen, that's the bad news. The bad news, here's the good news. God hath dealt bountifully with us, because the psalmist said, He hath delivered our souls from death. If you have been saved, brother, you have the sweet and blessed assurance of never being separated from God. I say this morning, praise God. Hallelujah, God has separated us from death. I'm so thankful I don't have to go to hell someday. You know, some people say you shouldn't get saved because of a fear of hell. And if that's why you get saved, your salvation is not legitimate. Well, I just know that Jesus told us to fear the one who has power to cast us into hell. So say what you want, but I am thankful that I don't have to spend 1 second in that awful eternal place called hell or the lake of fire. I'm thankful that I've been delivered from that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God brought me to the place of salvation and pointed me to Christ, and I put my faith and trust in Him, because eternal souls will live forever in an eternal place, one of two eternal places. Eternal souls will live in an eternal state of dying apart from God in hell, or they will live in an eternal state of living in the joy of God. It's heaven or hell, the only two eternal destinations for the souls of men. And I'm saying, salvation by the grace of God is the only thing that will deliver a soul from hell, from death. Now, I'm talking about being saved. You know, by the way, let me say this morning. The default destination is hell. So what do you mean by that, Brother Angel? I mean, if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't put your faith and trust in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, the default destination is hell. I've had people say to me, well, I'm just not going to make a decision about Christ. I'm not going to make a decision about the Lord. I'm going to stay neutral. Well, I'm going to tell you that the default destination for people who remain neutral, according to the Word of God, is the lake of fire. That's the default destination. What does that mean? That means if you don't do anything about your sin, when you die, your soul is going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah. Now, you preachers don't preach on this. It's not palatable. It's not palatable to our refined, cultured ways. But I want to tell you something, friend. That book right there is chock full of references to that eternal place where folks who die apart from Jesus Christ spend eternity forever and ever. I would not be a true preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if once in a while I didn't bring the message of eternal destruction to this pulpit and tell you that there's a way to avoid it. You don't have to die and be separated from God. Jesus Christ went to that cross, died, was buried, rose again the third day to prove that He was the Son of God. And His death on the cross is sufficient payment for our sin. And you know what God does through His Spirit? God works on every person and tries to draw them to Christ and draw them to Christ and draw them to Christ. And that may be going on in your life right now. And I want to tell you something. Don't reject. Don't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the work of the Spirit of God to bring you to Jesus Christ. That's incredibly important. And as that Spirit of God works to bring you to Jesus Christ, let Him have His way in your heart. He'll bring you right to the doorstep, and He'll even give you the faith to trust in Jesus and receive Him as your personal Savior. And then you can shout and be thankful and happy like everybody else who's been saved. Because, friends, salvation is deliverance of our soul from death. And I'm just saying this morning, hallelujah, my soul has been delivered from death. Hallelujah, I don't have to die and go to hell. Thank God for that. I don't live with that fear hanging over my head. I've been saved by God's grace. What a great deliverance that is. Now, second of all, not only did the psalmist say, Thou hast delivered my soul from death, he said in the middle of verse number 8, that God delivered mine eyes from tears. So the first thing he said was, God delivered my soul from death. And the second thing is, God delivered. When he saved me, God delivered my eyes from tears. Now listen. It's amazing to think that two emotions on the opposite end of the spectrum can both produce the same net result. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about joy and sorrow. Aren't those on opposite ends of the spectrum? 180 degrees apart. And yet the net result of both joy and sorrow is tears. Sorrow produces tears and joy produces tears. You know, we have some families this week and even today who are taking young people away to college for the first time and leaving them. This is their oldest child that they're leaving behind at school for the first time in, 18 years. And I want to tell you something. When you do that, man, you can find yourself to the place of crying real easy. It's not an easy thing. Sorrow like that sometimes brings tears, and yet joy can result in tears. But I would guess, friend, maybe you can help me, but I would guess that far more tears have been shed as the result of sorrow than from joy. Far more tears from sorrow than from joy. I don't know if the name M.R. DeHaan rings a bell with any of you. Probably does with several of you. M.R. DeHaan was a preacher who lived years and years ago. And he wrote an article in a little book, an article called The Chemistry of Tears. And Dr. DeHaan was a medical doctor who became a preacher. And so he was very scientific. And if you ever can get a hold of the little book, The Chemistry of Blood, The Chemistry of the Blood, it's one of the most outstanding books written. And there are all kinds of chapters in there. One of the chapters he wrote was The Chemistry of Tears. And Dr. DeHaan was living, listen to this, when the earth's population was 2 billion people. Just 2 billion. And here's what he said. He said, suppose every individual sheds 50 tears a year. 2 billion people times 50 tears a year is 100 billion tears shed in 1 year's time. 100 billion teardrops. Then he said there are 420 drops to an ounce. 420 drops make up an ounce. So you got those 100 billion teardrops, and you reduce it down to ounces, you got 250 million ounces of tears. If you reduce that to gallons, that's 2 million gallons. If it's reduced to barrels, that's 40,000 barrels. You know what I'm talking about? 55-gallon drum barrels, right? He said if you lay those 40,000 barrels, a barrel is 3 feet long, if you lay it end to end, 40,000 barrels end to end reaches 24 miles. He said in 1,000 years, that's 24,000 miles or once around the world. In 1 year's time, 2 billion people shed enough tears. Think about that. To store up barrels and barrels and barrels of tears. Most of those cried because of sorrow. And that's when the population was only 2 billion. Now the population of planet Earth is 3.5 times that many people. What's your point, Brother Angel? My point is this. Gallons and gallons and gallons of tears are shed because of heartbreak and all kinds of sorrow. But salvation delivers our eyes from tears. Oh, not now. Not now. As long as we walk through this veil of sorrow on this earth, God's people, saved people, will still be susceptible to weeping tears because of being brokenhearted or sorrowful. But we have the blessed promise that some glorious day, God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Talking about saved people. Save people. God not only has delivered our soul from death, God has delivered our eyes from tears. And think about that, friend. God wipes away all the tears. I don't know what you think of when I read that. Some of you wouldn't have been here for this occasion, but I can't read that verse without thinking about Larry and Esther getting married. How long y'all been married now? 9 years. Man, that's pretty good, Esther. He knew how many years y'all been married. Amen. 9 years. I shouldn't ask a man that in front of his wife from the pulpit, should I? That'd be dangerous, man. 9 years. Some of you were here for their wedding. There was something unusual about Larry and Esther's wedding. It has never happened since. I don't know if it ever will happen again. I'm not talking about the fact that Larry found somebody to marry him, okay? I'm talking about these. Hey, look it. You know, something like these seats right here, both the mom's seats were empty. Both the mom's seats were empty. Esther's mother died of cancer When you were a teenage girl, I think, right, Esther? Young girl. Her mother's seat was empty right down there. Larry's mother got murdered down here in Kankakee. Just a few months before you got married, I think, right? That seat was empty down there. Now, I didn't know it, you know, but what they were going to plan to do, but we had the little message and the exchanging of the vows and the prayer, the rings and the prayer, and they had a unity candle back here. I think you had a unity candle. Y'all came back and they lit the unity candle. And then they went, they turned and they had two white roses. And Esther went down, they went down here and they walked over to the place where Esther's mom would have sat, and they put a white rose there. Then they walked over here to the place where Larry's mom would have sat, and they put a white rose here. And by the time they got back up here on the platform, Larry was, big old tears were coming down his cheeks. That big old boy. Great big old tears were coming down his cheeks standing over here. And I never will forget Esther took her hand, put it up on his cheek. And in the ceremony. And then we all started boo-hooing. She wiped those tears away. One of these days, for saved people, God's going to deliver our eyes from tears. You know, I went to a good Bible college. It was really a help. They taught us a lot of things. But one thing that I guess they couldn't prepare a young man for who's going into the ministry is trying to help people who are broken, brokenhearted. And when you got to help a family whose 2-year-old son got into rat poison and died because of ate rat poison. When you got to walk into a room where a body's battered because of a car accident. You got to stand with a man whose wife died suddenly. Or a woman whose husband died suddenly. Boy, the tears. Or you got to sit with a woman whose husband walked out on her. They don't prepare you for that. There's no way to prepare for that. Life is filled with sorrow. I say hallelujah this morning. Because salvation not only delivers our soul from death, but salvation delivers our eyes from tears. It'd be a wonderful thing to go to a place someday where there'll be no more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. All those things. The Bible says, and there should be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And I just want to say, oh, what a promise this morning. You know, the swelling of emotion that comes sometimes because our hearts are broken and it squeezes out of the corners of our eyes those tears that are birthed in brokenness and sorrow. And because we're saved, hallelujah, one of these days, God is going to wipe all tears from our eyes. He delivers our soul from death. Aren't you glad you don't have to die and go to hell? Aren't you glad there's coming a day when God's going to wipe all tears from your eyes? And then lastly, number 3 this morning, I want you to see the end of verse number 8 there. He says, not only has God delivered my soul from death and mine eyes from tears, but He delivered my feet from falling. My feet from falling. This is a deliverance from insecurity. This is saying that our salvation is full and complete. This is saying that when you get saved, you're saved forever. You're eternally secure in God's full and complete salvation. I think about Psalm chapter 40 where David is writing there. And he said, you know, God brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. Now, I grew up in clay. Georgia. My goodness, and Mom have a hard time with our clothes. I'm telling you, old clay gets in there, you can't get it out, friend. And I want to tell you, there is nothing as slippery as damp clay. Wet clay. You're gone. And the Bible says that we are, before salvation, we are in a horrible pit. And the horrible pit is like miry clay. It's slippery, it's damp, it's wet. You can't get any footing. And you can work and work and work, and some people do. They're very sincere, but they're going to work and work and work and work and work to get themselves out of this pit and get settled in salvation. But friend, in miry clay, you can't work your way out. And, you know, try to self-formation and turning over a new leaf. But that's a miry, it's miry clay. The only thing that delivers a sinner out of miry clay is the grace of God, is salvation, where God picks us up and sets our feet on a rock. A rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you something. That rock is as solid and as steadfast and as secure and as stable as can be. When you're set on that rock, you're not going anywhere. I love Jude, verse 24. Listen to this. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. There are two words in that verse. Begin with the letter F. Listen to what He says. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, full and complete salvation that is able to keep us from falling, falling back into a lost condition. Brother, the doctrine of eternal security is one of the great teachings of the Scripture. And Baptist people have been vilified for believing once saved, always saved. Oh, you Baptists, you believe that once saved, always saved stuff. Once you're saved, go out and live like you want to and you'll always stay. I've never heard an honest Baptist preacher, or even a dishonest one, say that. Never in my life. No, sir. But I'll tell you, that doesn't change the fact, for whether it's preachers, that's not true, but that doesn't change the fact that this book right here teaches that our salvation is eternal. Now, I rejoice in justification and all the teachings and regeneration and conversion and adoption and reconciliation and redemption and sanctification and glorification, and all of that comes with salvation. But friend, all of those things are somewhat depreciated if we aren't saved forever. If I could lose my salvation, I would. It'd already be lost. If it wasn't lost before two Wednesdays ago, it's lost then, that day for sure. That's the day of my encounter with the TSA. I won't relive it. Can I show you something, though? This is a money clip that my dad gave. This is how my day started. This is a money clip that my dad gave me. They gave it to him for 30 years of service at General Motors. I never used a money clip. I don't even really like them, but my dad gave it to me. It has two rubies and a diamond, and it's gold-plated. And I was going through this, and he said, "You can't take that on the plane." Now, I want to show you, folks. This, I'm allowed to fly with this. But I'm not allowed to fly with this. I can fly with that because it's a file. But that's a knife. So I can't take that on the plane, but I can. So he told me, he said, "Break it off." No kidding. He said, "Break it off." I said, "Sir." He said, "Break it off." He handed me towels and said, "Here, grip it with this so you won't cut yourself and break it." I wanted to break his nose. In Christian love. I can do just, if I want to do damage, I can do just as much damage with that file as I can that knife. He said, "Well, take it back out, put it in your bag, and check your bag." I don't want to check my bag. I don't want to check a bag. So I took it out, I went in the garage, and I hid it. I hid it. I said, "Lord, please watch over my money clip. My dad gave it to me. I don't want to lose it. Watch over it." When I came back, it was there. Yeah. God's good. If I could lose my salvation, I would have lost it that day. I said some pretty nasty things. And if you could lose yours, you would. But brother, one of the deliverances is God delivers our feet from falling. When He pulls us out of that miry clay, He sets us on a rock. We're not going anywhere. I'm so saved, I can't help it. And that doesn't give me license to go out and live like I want to. That makes me want to live for Him. Because I'm saved. Then He said, He's able to present us, listen to this, faultless before the presence of His glory. You realize that one of these days, you and I are going to be presented before the very presence of God. Faultless. Faultless. It has to be that way because no sin can stand in His presence. You and I are going to be presented faultless before the very presence of God. Our salvation is so full, so complete, so secure that Jude said one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to present you faultless before His very presence. I say hallelujah for deliverance. He delivers my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I talked to Brother Brown this morning. He said, what are you preaching on, Terry? I said, preacher, I am preaching on the three deliverances of Psalm 116:8. He delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I'm just going to have a good time rejoicing in God's great deliverance. And child of God, you ought to rejoice in that as well today. And if you're not saved, what a great day to place your faith in Jesus Christ and have your soul delivered from death and someday your eyes delivered from tears. And when you get saved, your feet are delivered from falling. You're placed on the stable, secure rock of the Lord Jesus. Eternally secure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening together this morning. Father, bless us. Help us today. Thank you for eternal salvation. My goodness, what a blessing to be saved. What a joy this morning to know that we belong to your family. And because we've been saved, our souls have been delivered from death. And someday our eyes will be delivered from tears. And our feet have been delivered from falling. And we can rest eternally secure in our salvation. Help us today to rejoice in it, to live for you because of it, and draw anybody here without Christ to the Savior this morning. In Jesus' name.